Would you say? Would you say right
you're
now?
You're not doing this.
Keith Yorick's come in and looked amazing.
But that's not. That doesn't matter.
And you still have arguably the best center back in the world.
Oh my God! See, you're such an asshole. You're such an ass. Because why? We here.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to episode 92 of the Six Yard Box Podcast. Blake and I are here downtown delivering yet another episode for you guys, the last episode of the winter 2025 semester. You may be asking, hey, why the hell is that relevant? I'm just a viewer watching from wherever the fuck in the world.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be...
Sorry.
What?
I don't know why I said that.
This is the last time in like at least 3.5 months mm-hmm. that we're going to be sat in this studio recording an episode for you guys. And usually, in summer's gone by, that means... You know what? We're going to be doing remote podcasts. Yay. Or we're going to be recording from my basement with shitty Amazon mics. Yay. Yeah. But no.
Not this time.
Are we getting to the announcement, straight to get into the announcement, or do we want to save it until the end? I've tickled their pickle a little bit, but do we want to wait to deliver until the very end?
I think we should just get into it.
I just want to get into it?
I think we should, yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're building our own studio.
Way!
A couple of weeks ago, we got funding approved from a program here at our school called the Creative School Society. You'll be seeing a little bit of their logo for the next couple of months in our new studio.
Yeah.
We got to figure that out, by the way.
Yeah.
It means we got mics, we got an audio interface. We've also self-funded this like a lot as well. Mm-hmm. So we've got an entire setup being built right now. And by episode next... you'll be seeing us recording in there. It's sick. We got this awesome, like it is professional.
Yeah, look,
I don't want to hype it up too much, but some of you watching have already seen it. And if you have, you're excited is all I'm going to say. We're excited. I was building it all day yesterday with Antoine, making a fucking mess everywhere. Like
the walls
in my basement. If we ever like we're getting like sticky wall panels to put everywhere. If for when those panels come down, we're going to need a new wall there.
Yeah.
Like it's bad. Like, I'll show you when you come over, but yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, it's professional quality. I think it's going to be, I mean, miles clear of this studio, miles clear of anything that we've done in that basement or anything outside of this studio.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the new home of the Six Yard Box podcast, at least for the summer, maybe even into the next school year, depending on timing with classes and whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
But we are so excited to show you guys. Maybe you can look out on our Instagram story in the next couple of days and we'll be showing like little sneak peeks of it, whatever. And then episode next, which will be probably Monday, we'll record Monday morning. TBD.
Maybe.
TBD.
Probably not. We should wait till after the Champions League. That would make more sense. Because we're doing a Thursday right now. I mean, it's up to you. We can figure it out.
Maybe. I mean, depends what happens this weekend, innit?
What's happening this weekend?
I don't know.
Which is why we can get into the episode.
Well, Liverpool might win the title this weekend.
Oh my, who cares? Who cares?
It's the Premier League champions.
Yes, it's the Premier League champions, but are you going to watch that? I certainly don't want to watch them lift the title.
Look, man, there's certain topics that you just cannot ignore, okay?
I can totally ignore it. Because this is the third season in a row where my beloved Arsenal and my beloved Hertha Berlin, no, I'm kidding, but
kidding. Yo, it's such a random fucking
thing. It's because I did a Karima with them.
What is that company? Ted?
I have no idea.
It looks like Ted, like the movie Ted.
Right?
Same font and everything.
Anyway, third season in a row that my beloved Arsenal comes short, and it's like we did in the first season that we were good and we came second. It's been over for a while. And sure, you can say that there's certain moments in football that you have to acknowledge. And sure, I'm going to see the trophy celebration. I've been tapped out of Premier League football for like a good 5 weeks now. Like it's been a minute, boys, or boy, because it's just me and you. Actually, shout out Julian for being here as well. You never get the love. You always introduce everyone, but you don't get to be introduced yourself.
Thank you, sir.
But I don't care. What are we going to talk about? Like we can talk about how great their season was, how they completely dominated the rest of the league, how they were a step above everyone else. However, I've seen pundits and online influencers and footballing personalities see that this is one of like the worst Premier League winners in a while. I don't know if you've seen that narrative, but I've seen that narrative floating around, which I don't think is true. And sometimes you don't need to be the best of the best. You just need to be better than the rest. And they were clearly better than the rest.
Yeah.
So my whole point is that although it's a big moment, although people are going to watch it, although it's important for me, it's nothing. I'm not going to gain anything by watching that.
Are you going to be given or are you going to be giving Liverpool a guard of honor?
I guess, yeah.
That's a little embarrassing.
It is.
I mean, that's the way it works out, but like, hey.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. The Premier League season is a little bit tapped this year.
Yeah.
Like, there's not much outside of like a somewhat exciting title rate or top five race. And there's some stuff to talk about around that. It was a good weekend if you're really caring about the top five race.
Sure. I'm sure it was. Like, I'm sure it was.
But total Premier League action watched over the past couple of months compared to the start of the season. Yeah, I know. Obviously, Champions League is more of the focus.
Yeah.
But when that happens, when just going over the football is not as exciting as it used to be, as you know here at the Six Hour Box Podcast, we get a little bit creative our segments. And, you know, almost 10 minutes into the episode, actually revealing what we're going to be doing today.
Yeah.
Later in the episode, we're going to be doing our Premier League team of the season. At least Blake's and I.
Woohoo.
Premier League team of the season.
Yeah.
How controversial is your Premier League team of the season?
I don't think it's going to be that controversial. Like, I think it might be because we know me. Hey, we thought Saka versus
Rodrigo. If you're an idiot, you'll think it's controversial. All
right. We thought Saka versus Rodrigo was controversial. Well, you two did. And, No, but I was kind of saying this season has like had this season has had very like a very distinct amount of standout players, and like even the players that have been kind of underrated, I feel like I can bring them up. You'll be like, yeah, they had a fantastic season.
Yeah,
there hasn't been a lot of unless we can talk about like sure we can talk about the best performing player on fucking West Ham in 17, but does that?
No, not really. I think there's abundance of honorable mentions.
I agree.
That I'll be saying.
Yeah.
Like, I made an 11, and then I'm like, oh, I missed out on that guy, and that guy, and that guy deserves love, you know?
No, for sure.
Just straight off the bat, is Bukayo Saka in your team this season?
Yeah. No, Julian, he's not.
It wouldn't be. He's had a great season.
No, he hasn't.
He's missed a couple of months.
He hasn't played enough.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just saying. He's also playing right wing, so it's kind of.
Well, yeah.
You have to put him over a certain someone.
Yeah,
so
certain. Potential Ballon d'Or winner.
But he's in my honorable mentions. I'll give you that.
Thank you for that.
He's been fantastic when he's played.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I also, and we'll get to it when we get to it.
I know.
We'll
I want to just go. But no,
let's go over the games really, really quickly. Sure. Speaking of the games, we actually have not been podding.
Wow.
Since United's 5-4 comeback, 7-6 comeback. Is this?
Fuck you.
7-6?
Fuck you. Because you know what?
7-6 comeback against Leon.
You know what? Do you want to know something? I actually was going to give you so much credit for that win. I had nothing to say. You guys absolutely cooked. Like,
whoa. Before it was a win, it was going to be a loss. And what were you going to do? What were you going to do when it was a loss, Blake?
Did I say I was going to do something?
You just.
It's okay. You guys are going to be good again one day. And then you can like shove it in my face when Arsenal isn't good. But man, shout out United. Like no one saw that coming. Like,
yeah.
Were you guys, they were a man down.
Leon was a man
That's
down.
That's embarrassing.
And oh they,
Jesus Christ.
And they went 4-2 up.
Did Onana make any mistakes in that game? I don't think so.
Not in the second leg.
No.
It was, God, it was almost a week ago now that this happened, so
it feels like a lot longer ago.
It feels like a very long time ago.
Yeah,
it wasn't that crazy. The second Leon goal was like an Onana, like it was a good Onana save, and then the rebound was scored.
Yeah,
but it wasn't like a Ryan Cherki first leg goal where it was like, okay,
which I still thought was a little harsh, but that's okay. Genuinely.
Anyway, yeah. Well, not had a stinker in the first leg. But it was just overall, the team lost their fucking head. That's what it was mostly. Mm. Which we've seen United do over and over and over again in Europe before that game. But it was the Bruno pen, And then it was the Kobbie Mainoo goal, and then it was the Harry Maguire last-minute header to win the game.
Yeah, it was
and
crazy.
Like, wow. The roller coaster of emotions was ridiculous. Like, I didn't even find myself celebrating that much when the Harry Maguire goal went in because my emotions were exhausted.
Yeah.
Like, that should be one of the moments where I'm going apeshit and I'm like, this is why I love this club.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, fuck, I'm in an abusive relationship with this club.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, the players had completely packed it in. Like, then again, like, we lost at the weekend in the Premier League. We'll touch on that a little bit, but I don't really care. Yeah, we're playing the kids there. Like, the performances matter a lot more than the results in the Premier League, and I thought we performed somewhat decent against Wolves. The results matter so much in the Europa League. That is it. That is our only way to save our season. And if we had gone out in that fashion, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, you saw the text I was sending. Like, I was completely done with United. Yeah. Losing my head before I lost my head even more at the Maguire goal. Yeah, it's emotional. Like, you gotta be mentally strong to support this team. It's crazy.
Well, I wanna shout out Harry Maguire.
I do,
and I think Harry Maguire's low key redemption story is pretty inspiring.
Yeah,
and I know I'm from an outsider perspective, but the guy who costs you almost 100 million, costs you 80
mil.
80 million is almost 100 million. But okay, the guy who costs you 80 million, he, you know, has this reputation of just being awful and being not worth the money, mm-hmm. and I mean, making mistakes and just being slow and just not being a good center back. And then now you look at it and he pops up with a crucial goal, the winning goal against Lyon. He's putting in just consistent performances, and sure, he's not worth 80 fucking million, but he is a center back who I feel like without him in the Manchester United squad, your team looks a lot worse, which is something that I don't think we would have said even a year and a half ago. And I don't know if that says a lot about United's total strength as a unit or what it says about his resiliency to bounce back and be like just a functioning player that contributes to the well-being of the team.
Yeah, I mean, like, I wouldn't go as far as like, he's been decent. I still don't see him as a starter for United.
Right.
I think when De Ligt is healthy, he gets in over Maguire. I think Yoro is better.
Fair.
Mazraoui is not a natural center back, but the role that he fills as the third center back is fine. Maguire is decent coming off the bench. And in the context that we used him in this game, I mean, in the big moments, he started. But in the big moments, he was playing literally a striker.
Yeah.
It was him and Mainoo up top, which is a horror story in most games, but actually came up pretty well in this one.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten us a last-minute equalizer against Porto.
Yeah.
He saved us against, was it Leicester? Or was it, he saved us against Ipswich. He saved us against, I forget who it was, in the FA Cup, but he scored a last-minute winner for us there on a Bruno free kick.
Mm.
But he's come up with these massive moments time after time this season.
Yeah.
And like, when you need him to go up and get a ball, he will do it. He's one of the best ball winners off a cross. He still has those defensive frailties, which worries me at times. Obviously, he is a little injury prone where you don't want to be relying on Harry Maguire as your primary center back. But with these big moments, it softens the blow of, this guy is one of the biggest flops in English football history.
Right.
But whatever. Mm-hmm. He's our flop. He's our slab head.
There you go.
And you know what? Massive moment that he'll never forget. Massive moment that I'll never forget. And literally one of the biggest moments in the history of United. Like, in terms of like the best games ever played at Old Trafford.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
Okay. Yeah.
This is not a massive accomplishment.
Yeah.
But, you know,
being down 4-2 to a team with a red card. Yeah.
It's emotions, bro. Like,
that's why I said, like, I don't want to take anything away from United or that performance or the experience that you felt, because
yes,
any sort of comeback win is just insane.
Still, though, we're playing Bilbao, and if we go on to lose against Bilbao, this means jack fucking shit.
Yeah, of course.
And if we go on to lose to, like, a Tottenham in the final,
you can't let Tottenham win.
That's what I'm saying. If we let Tottenham get their first trophy in over, like, nearly two decades.
They're in 16th.
I know. They're in the same position as us.
Oh my god, they're only 1 point.
They've low-key had our numbers.
Jesus, you guys suck. You guys both suck.
Yes.
Like, this is what's dumb.
But in the Prem, we've both sacked off the season.
But that's bullshit.
Because, but it's not bullshit when we're playing Frederiksen at center back.
No, it's bullshit. Because that's what's wrong with this season so far. You can't
what's gone wrong with this.
No,
so
listen
far.
To me. You can't sit there and say that we've sacked off the season, so who cares that we're in 14th? No, that's a fucking disgrace for your club.
I haven't decided to sack off the season.
But you're making it
and I'm not saying we have sacked off the entire season. I am saying that certain teams in moments, especially at the end of the season, prioritize certain competitions.
Yeah, so have us. So
you're doing it right now in the Premier League. You didn't start Sack at the weekend.
No, I know,
and
but
that's fine because you're gonna finish second no matter what the fuck happens beyond you.
Yeah.
We're gonna finish, you know, 14th to 17th. What the fuck does that matter?
And that but it does matter.
That doesn't fucking matter.
But see, that's a terrible but that's why I hate
will
this
give
Premier
you
League
if
season.
We finish 17th, that's symbolic because that is one place above relegation.
What are you talking about? This is like the worst finish in your history, maybe?
No, if we win the rest of our games, it's still the worst finish in our history.
Yeah, exactly. That matters. That's a narrative for the season.
Yes, and it's the worst season for Tottenham. I don't know in their history, but in this stage of Tottenham, it's way below what they should be doing too.
Yes.
No, if we could win the rest of our games 5-0, it does not change the narrative of this season. We could lose the rest of our games as well. It does not change the narrative of this season. But it's been a F season for United, whether we win the Europa League or not. We all know that, all right? And this season has emotionally drained us enough where we can play the kids in the Premier League and go, whatever the fuck happens, I don't care. As long as the performances are enough of a stepping stone that we could build on next season. The only thing that matters, which is why this Lyon win is worth anything, is because the Europa League is the only saving grace this year. If we win it, it takes the season from an F to like a D. Still terrible, still not acceptable, still mediocre as fuck, but at least it's a trophy and a ticket into the Champions League, which financially would be massive for this club as well. Same with Tottenham. In the Premier League, though, I get it. We're going to get clowned if we finish lower, but we're going to get clowned no matter the fuck what.
And you should.
And I'm so emotionally drained. And we have been clowned already.
But you should. It's
and
almost like
should.
You're defending it right
and
now.
And we should.
You should.
We
you guys
should.
Are awful.
We should.
And so are Tottenham.
But guess what? I don't fucking matter.
Which is fine.
I don't care.
But my whole point
is.
I understand what you're saying. You're correct. My whole point is that, like, I feel like we as a footballing society have just, like, allowed this to just be a thing.
Yes. I'm
and
saying.
And it's not, it should be a thing that we still clown.
I'm saying this thing does not change whether we finish 13th
sure.
or 17th.
Sure, sure.
The thing still is.
Sure.
It's a terrible season.
Sure. But
and you're going to clown us for that
yeah,
no matter
but
what.
We're not
so
clowning.
So it's irrelevant
but
to
we
me.
Should. We should keep doing it, especially Tottenham. Like, they're 16. They lost at the weekend again. They have, like, what? The most losses out of anyone who isn't getting relegated. 18 losses. With a manager and a squad who was supposed to go for top four this season. That deserves to be scrutinized. That deserves to be looked at.
It has
at.
Been. It does every week.
And it should continue to be. But it doesn't.
It does.
No, because it's normal.
We sat on this pod every week talking about
because it's,
how shit they
no,
are.
No, but it's normal. Like, it's crazy.
That's how bad it is.
Yeah, and same with you guys. Like, it's
so
crazy.
So it wasn't as normal in December.
Yeah.
You clowned it a lot more then.
Didn't they have
and
a
it emotionally?
Shot?
It emotionally impacted me a lot more then. But after loss 15... What more damage can it do, Blake? There's nothing you could say to me right now that pisses me off. Nothing.
I could figure something out. But I'm not going to. I will say this, though. While you guys may have 15 losses,
mm-hmm.
Arsenal has 13 draws, and that is unacceptable. That's so many draws.
You want to move on to Arsenal? That's an S-tier segue if you want to move on to Arsenal.
Thank you. I mean, we can if you're good.
Yeah, a little 2-2 draw to Palace yesterday. A Saliba howler means Liverpool is 1 point yeah. away from winning the Premier League title. I know you weren't very locked into this game. That may be an understatement. I know you just watched the highlights now. But overall thoughts on Arsenal in this game and the Premier League and your overall feelings about it right now. Don't be a hypocrite now. Because you just went on about how the Premier League and our position and our performance should matter to me. So talk me through it. I know a little bit different.
We should have won this game. And no shit. This Saliba making a mistake, it's been like two games in a row now, or maybe not two in a row, but two consecutive moments that have led to goals for him.
What was the first? Oh, the Real Madrid.
Yeah. Yes. And it's like, I don't want to say it's becoming a thing, but it could become a thing. And like, he needs to lock in. And I'm not nervous for him, but he definitely needs to lock in that regard. I mean, I don't know. We played a strong enough squad to win. It just shows, like, we're still, like, I get it. You said the same thing. We have different priorities right now, but we need help. We need signings. We don't, and we need, like, more than one signing. That's all I care about. I was going to come to you and be like, hey, should we do, like, one signing for every Big Six team? But that seemed like more of a summer thing than right now. But that's all I care about right now in the Prem. I think of Prem, and I just think of next year. And yeah. And, like, I want to be back where I'm locked in to watching fucking Burnley and Leeds, because they're both coming up this year. Like, because, like, I miss those days.
I do miss those days.
Because I don't...
Ipswich Town. Come on now.
Yeah.
Well, come on.
No, man.
McKenna football. You know,
Are they relegated for sure? Yeah, they are.
All three teams are confirmed relegated.
God, that sucks.
I believe all three are confirmed
relegated. They are. Yeah. They are. It's over.
Southampton, Leicester. Yeah. The three that came up are the three going down.
Technically, no.
Ipswich are not. But they're like 9 points off. What is it?
No, they're 15 points off. But like technically there's five games left. So if they won every game like 7-0, then they could probably do it. But anyway,
Arsenal, it won't be that bad.
Yeah. I don't have much to say other than the fact that it's been a really disappointing Premier League season. It really has been.
Yes.
And we have had way too many injuries for us to really look at this as a title lost. This one doesn't feel as bad as the City one or the City one the year before, but it just shows you that we got to get some recruitment in the summer.
This one should feel worse than those two.
It doesn't though. I look,
considering if someone had told you at the start, I will maintain this forever. If someone at the start of the season had told you Arsenal fans that City were going to be this bad, what's your reaction to that? It's our fucking year.
Okay.
It's our year. That's what you're thinking. Liverpool were given a 5% chance by bookies to be Premier League champions in August. I know those aren't always the most reliable, but still, you have to take it as what it is. And obviously, there's context. There's injuries. So there's a bad decision here, a bad decision there.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, that stuff matters. But 12 months ago, even with a couple of injuries, you were thought of to be more than equipped to outlast this Liverpool team over a 38-game season.
Sure.
It is true.
It's true.
But it is true.
Liverpool didn't have their two most important players out for half the season, respectfully. Odegaard was out for half the season.
Not half
Saka
the season.
Saka was out the half
Not
the
half
season.
The season.
Odegaard
don't,
was out for half the
Don't give me that revisionist history.
No, what do you mean?
It was like 2.5 months.
That's like pretty, okay, a quarter of the season? Is that better?
Yes.
Odegaard was out for like half the season, I think. Maybe like 15 games.
The first 2 months of the season.
But see, you're such a little shit.
And
you're such a little shit.
And you still played well in that time, didn't you?
It's only 2 months of like your best midfielder out, and that kind of ruined his whole entire season. Oh, it's only the best fucking right winger in the league, bar Mo Salah, bar the fucking Ballon d'Or favorite, out for the entire season. Oh, Blake. It's only both strikers. Blake. Both of your only strikers out for the entire season as of a month ago.
Blake.
But what are you going to tell me? What are you going to tell me? That we deserved it? That we should have won it?
If we go result by result, for Arsenal, how many games are you looking at? No matter the context of this man or this man was out, are you saying, fuck, we should have won that? Martinelli should have been onside at Craven Cottage for that last minute winner. You know? Like, oh, we should have played better against West Ham. Or, you know, we shouldn't have dropped points in that away game. We played poor when we should have won and we had a way better team. Like, you could give me those long-term excuses, sure, but the fact of the matter is, Saka being out does not mean that the rest of your squad has an excuse to be dropping points to bottom half of the table teams. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
even without him, you have the firepower to be beating these teams week by week, to be outlasting Liverpool, who, like you predicted,
but
did go on a little bit of a cold stretch there in a period of this season. Everything you predicted about Liverpool was right.
Yeah, because I fucking know ball! Because I know fucking ball! And you guys never fuck. I hit the thing. You knew I was gonna do that. And you never fucking believe me. God, but I know yes, ball, and know I know ball. What I'm talking about here.
Prove you know ball by admitting that Arsenal should have been way closer to Liverpool this season, despite the reasons that you were
no,
off.
No, they shouldn't have. What do you want
yes,
from us,
dude?
Julian,
come on.
This team has missed so many players, We haven't had a full fit squad once. You literally 2 years ago, or was it last year with Ten Hag? All you used to fucking chat about was, you know what? Man, we're just injured. If we weren't injured, holy fuck, we wouldn't be as bad as we were.
Yes.
I'm doing the exact same thing right now. I'm doing
yes.
the, No.
What happened? What happened to that team? Oh, when we got our players back this season, it was like, oh, you know what? Maybe the whole team was just shit the
yeah,
whole time.
But we're not shit. We're at least not shit. We may not be good enough.
You weren't good enough.
Yes, yeah, sure. I'd rather be not good enough than fucking 14 dog shit get a fucking get anally penetrated.
We're not contending for the
by
league,
Athletic
brother.
Bilbao.
You're
in
a stratosphere
a week.
Ahead of us.
Yeah, I realize
why
that.
Why are you comparing yourself to 14th in the league?
I'm saying that you had the
you'd
exact
be the best 14th place team in the history of the Premier League. But
that.
You're contending for a title, mate. Yes, you're miles clear of us. Miles clear of us. Light years beyond us. You cannot be comparing these two situations.
No, I'm comparing what you said about when your team was bad with Ten Hag
yes.
to what happened this season. And I
see what you mean. I still maintain that our injuries last year were worse than yours this year. Yes. Oh my God, yes. Yes. But that point is moo. The fact of the matter is, you had the talent to be beating teams week after week contending for the title.
Arsenal players have missed over 180 combined games through injury this season. This is
yes.
as of April 4th.
You know, United had 40 different center back pairings that we had to play last season. We were playing Sofie and Amrabat at left back, at center back.
Yeah, but
we brought in kids from the academy who hasn't touched the pitch since last season. You know
yeah,
what?
Yeah, we did too, but our kids are fucking good. And now one of our kids
yes,
is
they're good.
The,
that's
yeah,
my point.
Exactly. And that's not my fault that you're complaining about your team not having the fucking depth or the youth academy or the players to fill in those roles.
No, because you know what happened? We brought in youth academy players last year, what? Like Colby Mainu, and they came through and they cooked. Fantastic.
He didn't cook this season, did he?
Then the youth players we brought in got injured. And then we had to use the bench youth players.
Like,
we had to go through two layers
you
of youth players.
Okay. Who name me the five best players on Arsenal right now?
Saka
injured for a big portion of the season. Okay.
Saliba.
Okay, fine.
Gabriel
injured for the rest of the season.
Missing like 6 weeks. Yes, yes.
See. You
see,
No.
Kivior has come in. Would you say right
you're
now?
You're not doing this.
Kivior has come in and looked amazing.
But that doesn't matter.
Still have arguably the best center back in the world.
Oh my God. See, you're such an asshole. You're such an ass. Because why? Why are you not crediting the fact that we're missing arguably the best center back in the league this season?
I'll give you credit for it. But Blake.
What is happening?
That same defense without Gabriel shut out Real Madrid to one goal in two games. And that goal was pretty much moo because it was just a giveaway by Saliba.
It's still a
you
point.
You should still be, if you're shutting out Real Madrid for a game and a half, you should be shutting out Crystal Palace at home. But you're not.
But so that's how fucking football works, Julian.
Can we acknowledge that silly drop points like you did yesterday against Crystal Palace
okay, sure.
has happened multiple times this
okay,
season?
Okay, sure. AC Milan just beat Inter Milan in the Coppa Italia 3-0 this past weekend. But you're going to tell me that AC Milan is better than Inter Milan because they beat them one fucking time, even though Inter Milan is going to make the fucking Champions League
that's
final?
That's exactly my point. You shouldn't be dropping the teams that are worse than you,
okay,
Blake.
Inter Milan should be dropping to teams
Crystal
that are worse
Palace
than them.
Were threatened by relegation at one point this
yeah,
season. You
and
should not
that
be...
happens, but the season's over, Julian. It's over.
I know, but there's been at least like 10 games like that this year. Am I wrong?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. But I'm saying we've had injuries and you're just being like, it doesn't matter. Fuck it.
Yes,
it doesn't matter.
But this is what I'm
it's
saying.
It's not an excuse,
this,
but it's but why,
this,
it's why
this,
I don't
this,
care.
This is what I'm saying. Yes, like this instant goes on for time after time after time. Say like Havertz, that's a big injury. That's a big injury. And Mikel Merino over the season being at striker is obviously a downgrade over Kai Havertz being there. We know that. However, as you saw in the Real Madrid tie, that can work. If you're convincingly beating Real Madrid, then you should be doing the same thing across the season to much lower opposition. Should you not? You've had the best midfield pairing or the best midfield trio in the entire league without the injuries.
No one was fucking saying that before the Real Madrid game. You're using revisionist history. No one in their right mind said we had the best midfield trio before the Real Madrid game.
Okay, I forgot about Liverpool.
Do not even try.
Okay.
No one said that.
Okay, you had top two. Miles clear of whatever midfield trio you're going up against week over week. Is that wrong?
I mean, probably. People thought Declan Rice was shit before the Real Madrid game. I've heard that he can't make a forward pass. I heard that he doesn't.
Declan Rice is not shit.
Oh, I've seen the narratives.
Declan Rice is not shit. Stop changing the topic.
You're being crazy right now. You're actually being so crazy. Like, this is fucked out of your mind.
I'm just
because
saying.
Because if we win the damn Champions League, then none of this fucking matters. You want to talk about nothing matters?
Okay, that'd be fantastic, Blake.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. But in the same vein as you're saying, you know what? Both your strikers got injured, but the fact that Mikel Merino is playing well as striker against Real Madrid and like in a tie where you get to meticulously plan for two legs over a number of weeks of preparation, you're telling me that just because that worked means that we should have won the league? And using that as a slight on us?
That's not...
No, that's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. And you're saying that because KBR came in and it worked, that means that it should work against everyone else and it should make us win the league because it worked in the little pocket of games in the Champions League.
Would you... I'm not even saying just that one. I'm saying like Calafiori being injured, but Miles Lewis-Skelly looking like a generational talent coming in at left back and being even better. Like, shit like that. Like... Yeah, you've had injuries there, but your replacements and the players that you brought in for them has still been.
Yeah, and imagine if we had both. Imagine if we had everyone fit. Imagine.
That is a fair point as well. But I'm just saying, like yesterday in the Palace game.
But don't use the Palace game because who cares about that?
Just saying the Palace. Like, yes, it's a write-off. But are you not giving it 100% versus Palace? Maybe not. But. It's just an example of shit that's happened double-digit amount of times this season where you guys, there's one team and there's another team. And one team has so much more talent, cohesiveness, mentality, and effort than the other team. And yet it's a draw.
Okay, sure.
And that shouldn't be happening. And when that same thing was happening between Liverpool and the other team... Mo Salah or whoever else would find a way.
Okay, Liverpool, Arsenal combined 11 because you're pissing me off. If you want to do this, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Alisson or Raya? Probably Alisson.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Trent or
right back?
Trent, okay.
Yes. You'd probably split the center backs.
Okay.
You would go... You'd probably give it Arsenal.
Okay, sure. Left back. I probably would, yeah.
Midfield three of Rice, McAllister... Odegaard.
You do not... This season, you do not put Odegaard. I wouldn't.
You could say Gravenberg. You know what?
Yo, Gravenberg. You
know Gravenberg, Rice. Who's the other one? McAllister.
Yeah.
Okay. Right wing, Salah.
Salah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Left wing, Luis Diaz.
Yeah.
Striker, whoever the fuck else.
So... Looky there. It almost looks like they've had the better team the whole time.
You're not playing Liverpool every week.
I'm just
Let's
saying.
Let's do a combined 11 between Arsenal
no, but
and
I'm saying
and
they have the better players. They've had the better players. They have, and they've played better this season.
And
sure.
We
need to move on. But okay, go.
But this is my point, Blake.
Yeah.
At the start of the season, if we did a combined 11 between Arsenal and Liverpool, it would be mostly Arsenal. That was the expectation.
Sure.
That was the expectation.
And the expectation doesn't always work out that way.
And why did it not work out that way? Because your players
underperformed. Only because that. No other reason. They just underperformed,
no,
and that's the only reason why.
No, because your players...
Because you just keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over again.
Your players underperformed in the Premier League. Liverpool's players overperformed in the Premier League. That is why, at season's end, we are mostly putting a Liverpool
and those are the
players
two, and those are the two
in
only
an Arsenal-Liverpool combined 11. But if we did that same 11 at the start of the season, the expectation, and that's the key word here,
right.
Expectation was that Arsenal was going to outlast Liverpool.
Sure.
Was,
you said that 40 times,
Julian.
Had
more talent, had better tactics, Liverpool had a better
manager,
and everything.
You're saying the same thing. Okay, move on, because we're saying the same thing over and over again.
I know we're going
and
in circles
you're
here.
You're being such a hypocrite, because you were not saying this fucking shit when United were hurt last season. Two seasons ago. All you were saying was that they were hurt and that they were going to be better next season. That's all you were saying. So when I want to use it for an excuse for me, it doesn't work. And I understand what you're saying. I can't say that we haven't underperformed in the Premier League at times. We absolutely have. But there's so much more to it.
Even with United, I'll give it to you. Like, you could say I'm being a hypocrite, but you would also go in on United and say the excuses weren't valid last year either.
Yeah.
So are we both being hypocrites?
Sure.
Maybe.
I agree with you. We haven't been as good. But I can't look at this season as a whole and go, hey.
Yes.
But we really should have won the league this season. I can't. Yes. It wasn't close.
Big picture, sure. But how many weeks have we come into the studio and you've had a 1-1 draw with Everton?
Are you trying to make me in pain? Like, you just keep saying the same thing. I realize that we sucked. I understand. I said we drew 13 times.
At the end of the day, Blake, if you were a bad team, I would not be saying this. You are Champions League winning material.
No, exactly.
You are. If you just got bounced easily by Real Madrid, I would not be going this harsh on you. The reason I'm a disappointed father. The reason I'm going this hard on you is because I know the talent you guys have.
Well, then clearly
I know the talent that you've shown in pockets throughout this season. It's just unfortunately you haven't been able to withstand it throughout the entire season.
Say it one more time.
And you're gonna look back at this for in a couple of years, whatever happens, you're gonna look back at this season as the one where you're like,
no, I'm not! I'm an Arsenal fan! No, I'm not! Stop telling me what I'm gonna do! No, I'm not! I'm not going to look back on this and say that this was the one we should have won. Last year was the one we should have won, or the year before. Not this one. Before the season started, sure. But you don't look back on what you thought was going to happen at the beginning. You look back at the season as a whole. And after the entire season, there is no way that I can say that this Premier League season was the one that we should have won. It's not even close. Maybe at the start, sure. But at the start, I didn't think we were going to win it. You know that.
All right. Let's give it a couple years, then we'll find out.
Sure.
And if you're still saying the same thing, fair enough. All right.
There's no way we just... How did that even happen?
How much
we're at 37.
Oh, my God.
So we should get into Prem Tots, but like, how did that even...
God, we have Prem Tots to do. I didn't even remember
how did that even happen? It's okay.
Holy shit.
How did that even happen? I have no idea.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
This is what happens when you put me and Julian alone in a room together. We just start yelling at each other.
So embarrassing. I mean, we have City winning against Villa last minute. My dad's going to be fuming. We're barely going to touch on this. Bernardo Silva coming up with a kind of both. You have to ask him, dude. You have to ask him. Oh. Both the Portuguese players coming up big for City.
You're still on the Premier League? Are we still doing that?
Man, I have to be on something. City 2-1 win. Mateus Nunes coming up with a late winner.
That's so great for them.
It's big in the top five race because it's against Villa. We also had Forest beating Spurs 2-1. The Richarlison goal was not enough. Last day of the season is Chelsea Forest. That's on the final day. That could be a movie for top five because it's super close. There's like,
four points
that covers all of them. We also had Fulham 1, Chelsea 2. There was a Pedro Neto winner. A lot of Portuguese players coming up big this week, apparently. In the kind of like a reverse fixture of the Boxing Day game between these two. Do you remember how that went? Chelsea were 1-0 up until late. Fulham get two late goals, win it last minute away. It was the complete opposite this game. Evil Saka popped up with a goal. You know what I'm talking about? Tyreek George.
Yeah.
He looks like a good little player.
Yeah.
It's actually scary how much they look alike.
I don't really see it.
You don't see it?
When they're on the pitch, I get like I need to see them on the pitch together. But
yeah. You will soon. You also had, as you touched on, Inter losing 3-0 to Milan in the Coppa Italia semifinal. That's not ball knowledge. Who scored?
I have no idea.
Former Real Madrid player. Croatian.
Jovic scored two. Scored two.
Was it Hertha Berlin he used to play for? That's so funny. No, he played for Frankfurt.
Yeah,
Frankfurt. No. And it was Reinders with the other one.
Stupid Tijani, bro.
Tijani Reinders. All the teams that made the semifinal had a bit of a hangover this weekend.
Which happened?
Barcelona almost lost to Celta Vigo, which you
what you watched. Right. Here you go. They had the remontada with the Rafinha late penalty.
So stupid.
Who else am I thinking? Inter obviously lost. You guys drew. And the other one was PSG, who they also drew to Nantes.
Has Barca, like, genuinely, I just want to know. Have Barca had, like, a lot of injuries this season? Pedri was out for a little bit, right?
Yamal was out for a little bit. Their center backs were out for a little. Araujo, like, was out for a long time, came back. But, like, but then same thing. Like, their replace. I mean, Ter Stegen as well. That's why they have Szczesny.
True.
But even the replacements have come in. Like, Inigo Martinez, bro. Players like that.
I know. Who would have thought?
Like, who would have thought that he would come in and actually be starting over Ronald Araujo? Yeah. Same thing with Szczesny, bro. Nobody expected Szczesny to come in and look amazing.
Shout out Boateng, man.
Yeah, man. Like, their La Masia graduates have come in, made an impact, and kind of, like, saved that club in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Their next game is this Saturday against Real Madrid in the Copa del Rey final. That's something we could talk about on Monday.
Is that two legs? Oh, yeah, I guess.
The Copa del Rey final?
Yeah.
That's always one leg.
I don't know. So they're weird. Like,
it is weird.
Like, you know how, like, the Super Cup is, like, two legs? Like, not the UEFA one, but, like...
But not the final, though. Or is it?
Like, no, it's like the...
The Spanish...
The Charity Shield.
I don't fucking...
The Spanish Charity Shield is two legs or something. I'm pretty sure.
Is it? I don't even know, man.
I don't know.
It's playing, like, Saudi Arabia or some shit. Anyways. Yeah. Shall we move on?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's go to Tots. That was a very quick, very quick roundup of the games besides a certain conversation.
I mean, hopefully they like it. Like,
but let's move on. So basically how we're going to do Tots, ladies and gentlemen, is first Blake is going to run through his entire team. The entire team.
Mm-hmm.
Little two-minute tangent, and then we're going to go player by player and analyze. Then it's going to be the same thing for me. We'll go through honorable mentions as well. Blake, do you want to kick us off with your Premier League team of the season?
I would love to.
Go on.
Okay. Starting in goal, I have David Raya. Disgusting. Call me a homer. but I think his overall big game save ability and his game breaker saves, the ones that have like changed the tide of a game, the one against United, the one in the Champions League. I know that's not what we're talking about, but but I'm saying his ability over this season to make big saves in big moments puts him number one for me. At right back, I have Ola Aina, which I feel like is pretty self-explanatory. Yeah. I think he's by and
between far. Between him and Trent, pretty much.
And I think he's been by and far, as well as a lot of those Nottingham Forest people, been the best, most like electric right back in the league.
Mm-hmm.
First center back, I have Van Dijk. Yep. You could put Konate there, you're right. I just think, man, like their defense has been amazing this season. Their whole team has been amazing this season. Van Dijk deserves it. I have Gabriel with him as well. Before he got injured, in my opinion, was the best performing center back in the league.
Yep.
Maybe you can put, a Nottingham Forest one in there. But
yep.
Left back, another homer pick, but it has to be Miles Lewis-Skelly. No, I think it does.
No.
I think it does. Yeah, I think it does.
What the fuck?
Well, and look.
He only started playing in, like, February.
No. It was a little earlier.
In January, you're saying Thomas Partey should start over him.
Oh, I do remember that conversation. Sure. But hey, you wanted me to be a little crazy. I'm going to be a little crazy.
Because he played well against Madrid? Is that why?
You know what?
I wasn't trying to interrupt, but that is bad.
I feel bad for yelling at you, and then you say, oh, you have this little thing where you go me in just as much as I do. So don't even
fucking
interrupt.
Okay, I said I wasn't going to interrupt you, but that was bad. Okay, keep going.
I can put Kyrgios, we'll I can put Robinson, it. Whatever. No, I'm putting Miles Lewis-Skelly because at the end of the day, I think he is the best performing left back in the league this season. He is.
Go on.
And I think he might be the best left back, like, I think he is the best left back in the league this season.
Who's your midfield three, Blake?
I have Gravenberch. Obviously, you got to give Liverpool love. And he's been, he's had a bit of a resurgence as well. He wasn't really,
He wasn't crazy.
He wasn't really working under the Klopp system. And I feel like here he just has blossomed into this powerful midfielder that is like, genuinely one of the best in the world.
For sure.
I don't think it's hard to say.
For sure.
I have Jacob Murphy as one of mine as well.
Okay.
He's second in the league in assists.
Has he? Wow.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And, I mean, again, I'm talking about moments outside, but his, like, I'm talking about moments in the Carabao Cup. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about continuous performances.
Carabao Cup is not.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, I feel like he's had a season worthwhile and one to remember. And him as a player is, like, a really, he's kind of like one of those wingers that plays in the midfield. Sure. Like, he's not, but he kind of has that build, which I love. And then I have my other sentiment. I didn't really know who to pick. I put Bruno G, which might be kind of, you might hate too because you hate all my picks. But again, just another solid player who has had a great season.
It's valid.
Now for my front three, I don't have a traditional front three.
We should have a, you don't have a traditional front.
No, like it's just like three attackers.
Sure.
Okay. But I have Alexander Isak, fantastic player. I'm going to be honest. I had apprehensions about him at the start of the season. I was wrong. I can hold my hands up and say I was absolutely wrong. Isak is one of the best finishers, is one of the best overall players that this Premier League season has seen. I have Chris Wood.
That's fair.
Because he's been a revelation. Yeah. More at the start of the season, but he's been a revelation. Yeah. And this Nottingham Forest team has been a revelation. And I have Mo Salah to round off my team.
Because you have to.
Because I have to.
Yeah. Any honorable mentions in there?
Players you were considering we can go honorable mentions after. You can go your team and then we can go to that.
Okay. I want to digest your team a little bit first, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I'm going to
just hate
you,
on me.
No. I'm going to be light on you. I'm going to give you a warning though that if you don't like our comments, you're gonna be in for a rough one.
What? Who did I miss out on?
I'm just saying some of the picks in there are going to get you hate, brother.
What pick? Okay, sure. Sure.
Miles Lewis-Skelly.
Call it a homer.
In the most respectable way, might be one of the worst takes in the history of the pod.
Okay. You're fucking insane.
Over Milos Kerkez and Anthony Robinson, who have been fantastic.
You know what?
Not just since February, but through the entire season.
You know what? Anthony Robinson, genuinely, you could put in there. And it is a homer pick. I'm saying that. But in the small pockets of game time that I've watched.
Yeah.
Miles Lewis-Skelly, I think his importance to the team is unprecedented.
Yeah.
And Anthony Robinson, for sure, is done it for the entire season and has also had a fantastic year.
Yeah.
On the defensive end, and his ability going forward has really impressed me this season. Same with Kirk as a young guy who came in, who had a lot of potential to him, and he showed that he can be a player in this league. So, sure, those are definitely players you put in there. I'm putting Miles Lewis-Skelly because I believe that he – talent-wise, is the best out of those three.
Yes, I could say Haaland is best talent-wise out of the attackers, and he's had a good season too. That doesn't mean I don't think he's had a better season than Isak or whoever.
Yeah. I get hated on either way. They love to hate me. It's fine.
Well, they love to hate on people that come up with
some
bad takes.
Remember when you thought that Rodrigo over Saka was a bad take? Yeah, so we can...
Remember when you thought Saka was better than Yamal? We can play that game.
He might be, so...
Okay. All right, let's move on to mine. Okay, starting goalkeeper, I have Sells. I feel like you can't go anywhere other than Sells. You have to have Nottingham Forest love in this team, which is the same reason why I have Ole Aina as my right back. My two center backs, we actually agreed on Blake. I got Gabriel and I got Van Dijk. You could have Konate in there. I want to give a shout out to Dean Huijsen as well, but
yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah. Speaking of Bournemouth, I have Kirkes as my left back. I think it's between him and Robinson personally. I think most people would say that. And my midfield three, I have Gravenberch, I have Bruno Guimarães, and I have Bruno Fernandes.
Okay.
That is not a hot take.
Yeah, okay.
That is not a hot take. Okay. That is not a hot take.
Okay, yeah, Bruno Fernandes in 14th. Yeah.
Here
we go. Here comes the Bruno Fernandes is like the best performing player in United's history, and he's blah 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 blah. I don't care. But go ahead.
Left wing, I Brian Mbeumo.
you didn't even say your point.
Look, I think United would be much worse off without Bruno Fernandes. He's had spectacular moments. He's had spectacular performances over the season. He's done well as a captain. And I think that's just the honest to God truth. I think you have to give love to Alexis McAllister, of course. You have to give love. Even people forget about Cole Palmer, who was on fire, has kind of cooled off towards the end of the season, but was on fire. Still, like, I think he's either He's up there for the most goal involvements in the entire Premier League still, even during this goal drought. Yeah. You have to give love to Declan Rice too. I feel like that one's actually someone that you didn't mention. I'll give love to the Arsenal player.
But see, that's revisionist history. No one was saying that.
A little bit of recency bias, perhaps.
It is, and you're giving love to him for not further UCL. You have not.
No, I think he's been good through the entire Premier League season.
You're alone. I think he has been too, but you're alone on that. Rival fans do not think that. Okay. I'm telling you for a fact.
I'm not speaking for rival fans. I'm speaking for me.
Okay.
Left wing, I got Brian Bermo.
Yeah.
Right wing, I have Mo Salah. Striker, I have Isak.
Okay.
I went for a traditional front three.
Fair.
Two wingers. Honorable mentions to Erling Haaland,
who hasn't
had a ridiculous Erling Haaland year. I think since his first season, it's kind of done him dirty, putting up like an insane expectation that he should get 30 goals. If not, it's a disappointment. Mm-hmm. But he's like, what, second in the Golden Boot race still?
Yeah.
I think so. You can fact check me on that. Saka was amazing for all the time that he played. We talked about, I think Raya should be in that conversation as well. I just want to give love to Forrest. Obviously, Anthony Robinson as well. Cole Palmer, we talked about. I just put Liverpool players in general. Like the whole entire Liverpool team, especially the attackers as well. Gakpo, Diaz, Szoboszlai, all of those guys put up team of the season worthy seasons. There's just so many players that can fit into this team. And obviously the man, the myth, the legend, Chris Wood, I have in there as well. There's probably some players I'm missing out.
Yeah, for sure.
As well. I'm trying to think of others, but.
I think Bruno is crazy. A crazy take. Low key.
I don't think it is. I was listening to a take on the way here that somebody has him as their player of the season.
But see,
which is fucking crazy.
But this has been my problem with Bruno for a long ass time.
Mm.
Is that it just seems like he is the best out of a really bad bunch. And he's always going to be the best out of the bad bunch. And he can do good things when the players around him are really, really fucking shit. But if he's the best and that's what the team has to strive for, who is saying it? I think it might have been Goldbridge. Of course it's Goldbridge. But he's like, you know, these players, like, imagine training with Ronaldo and Messi and Mbappe. Like, if you're training with those players, or maybe players like really high intensity, you're training with these players who are so good, so talented, so willing to put the work in to be the best of their ability, that kind of sheds off onto the rest of the team.
Yeah.
If Bruno Fernandes is, while he's a fantastic player, and I've really come onto that that side this season, do I have my, you know,
trepidations
with him? Absolutely.
Yes.
But he's a really good player. However, if he is continuously the best out of the bad bunch, sure, he captained a team to 14th place. Sure, I don't know, you guys got into the Europa League last year after winning the FA Cup. Sure. But if that's the best that he can be, I feel like I said, you got to either move on from him or you need someone to, he can't be the one. He needs a better player ahead of him.
Of course. Them, like, being a big fish in a small pond should not be the reason that we take away from his individual performance over the season. Mm-hmm. Another example of this, Mateusz Cunha, bro. Mateusz Cunha is a name that I forgot to mention, but he should be talked about in this team of the season. He's been fantastic for Wolves, who's been terrible this year, but at times he has grabbed that team on his back, so much so that if he wasn't on Wolves, similar to if Bruno Fernandes wasn't on United, you don't want to think where those teams would be.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, the team is doing really, really bad either way. But you, like, they'd be in such a worse spot if it wasn't for those two players. Similarly, when Arsenal were dwindling down in eighth, there would be times where I'm like, man, if it wasn't for Saka or Smith Rowe at the time, like, these guys would be, like, I don't even want to think where they would be. And Saka made team of the season or was looked at as still one of the best young players in the league.
Yeah.
One of the best players in the league, period, even before you guys started challenging for titles despite the position. So, same thing with Cole Palmer last year for Chelsea, right? They were absolutely terrible, dwindling in the middle of the league, whatever. Yeah. But Cole Palmer put up generational performances, carrying that team on his back, and his impact, his value brought to that team was worth his weight in gold. I think to an extent, not to that extent, but to an extent, you can say the same thing for Bruno Fernandes on this team.
That's super fair. It's just, it's hard for me to see crazy value when you're in 14th. You know what I mean? Like if you were in like 7th or 8th, sure.
Of course.
But
and it's
but I honestly don't want to argue with you because you've kind of convinced me.
Because we've argued enough.
Well, yeah, but he has been like he has been very good. And he like the fact that he's convinced me that he's good this season is enough for me. Is it like honestly enough for
that
me?
I should
to,
tell you, yes.
Yeah. You know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That was not bad.
Yeah.
That was did not take as long as I thought it would.
Me either, because it kind of...
What's our time here in the end?
55.
Wow. Yeah. We might have a sub 60 episode.
Yeah. Do you have any final thoughts on...
Do you have anything to argue about?
Like, no. I mean, we can quickly preview the Champions League. You want to do that? That's coming up.
Preview Leafs. I'm kidding.
Don't even get me started.
You didn't even talk about your time at the tailgate, bro.
Oh, guys. Like, I love football. And maybe it's because I don't live in England. But, guys. Playoff fucking hockey with the buds in the square. Nothing better.
Mm-hmm.
It's like crack cocaine.
Mm.
Yeah. There's nothing better. It literally feels like every bone in my body, when that goal, overtime goal, Domi went in, game two, we go up 2-0 in the series. It feels like that, like, I'm, like, getting off in every pore of my body. Like, if I could have an orgasm in, like, every single orifice.
Yes.
Every single, like, skin hole. You know, like, the skin has holes, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
That's what it feels like. All around me.
Have they been up 2-0 in a series in our lifetimes?
No. Last time was 2002.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's big. That's big, man. Holy shit. Okay. I'm not trying to make this a Leafs pod, but when me myself is asking about the Leafs and excited about the Leafs, then that's when you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you know. Hey, I've been locked in. Kind of have to for work, but either way, I've been locked
true.
In.
True, yeah.
But yeah, man. I can see how it's very much even more enjoyable when the football is not delivering how the football should outside the Champions League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, on... Tuesday. No, we play Wednesday. Fuck, we play Wednesday.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, it's going to be locked in. Locked in. Season.
Of course.
Oh, fuck. The Leafs play Wednesday. They play
you're Wednesday. Going, oh my goodness.
No, I just don't want to. No, I don't think they do. I don't think they do. I don't want to watch them on the same day. Like, that's too much. That's way too much.
That'd be insane.
Like, that's way too much.
That wouldn't be round two by then. I mean, hey, if we fucking sweep them.
No, I wouldn't. Then. No, they play on Tuesday. Okay, good.
Okay.
If it makes it to five, which it probably will. But
yeah. Okay. I think that's about it for this episode. We could do an FBL roundup as well, but I don't want to talk about FBL, bro.
Okay.
I triple captain Saka. He played a total of 60 minutes in two games. He got 3 points.
Yikes.
It literally could not get worse as a triple captain. And that has been the 6-Yard Box Podcast, everybody. You've been listening to episode 92, the last episode in the studio for a minute, okay? Mm-hmm. But fear not, we are back and going to be better than ever next week when either Monday or Thursday or both, we're in our brand new studio.
Absolutely.
Dude, like, even if we don't pod Monday, I need you to come over and just feel it.
All right.
You know? Sit down in your spot.
All right, I'll see what I can do,
adjust
my
your
boy.
Mic. You know,
I'll see what I can do.
And we talk, you know?
I kind of don't love the fact that you guys like kind of organized the spots without me. Like, I get it. I was busy and I wasn't there and I couldn't come. Like, it's fine.
If you have a genuine issue with it, like,
I definitely it's obviously I just like having control, you know?
A what?
Control. Like, it's fine. I'll sit on my couch. Unless I hate it, then I won't.
I like all four of us are control freaks. I don't know how this pod works.
Yeah, we kind of are. Yeah.
Genuinely, I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
I think we all have our area of expertise where we respect that we...
Yeah, we kind of
that we give control.
We delegate, yeah, for sure.
We fucking make it work, brother.
Hell yeah, brother. Good episode.
Just getting started. All right, listen, everybody. It's been a fantastic week of football, debatably. Mm-hmm. It's been a fantastic Leafs playoff run so far. We'll be watching tonight. I don't know how many of you will be tuned in as well, but we know we'll be locked in. Is episode coming out tonight?
I can try my best, yeah.
I can edit if you...
No, it's my job. It's my job. We'll talk after the pod.
I will take the edit if it means getting the episode out earlier. Oh God, control freeze coming out. Oh no.
The thing is, I can only edit probably at like 11:30 tonight. So.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll have thumbnail done by then.
Okay.
We'll talk about it when we talk about it. Anyways, everybody, thank you for listening to another episode. We will see you next week. If you don't know, now you know. Studio is coming. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you soon. See us out, Blake.
We out.
See ya.